It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning, folks. It is your old buddy Luke Clayton. Thank you very much for joining me for this 15-minute outdoor visit that we get to have here on KETR each week. Today's guest is going to be none other than who I consider to be America's favorite fisherman, Mr. Bill Dance. Bill's going to drop in and share some words of wisdom with you, and we're just going to have a good visit with him. I bet a lot of you will really enjoy that. You know, today's show is underwritten by Uncle Josh Little Stinker line of catfish baits. You can go online to UncleJosh.com and check those out, and Smoking Tech's electric smokers, which is SmokingTech's.com. Folks, as promised, Mr. Bill Dance is with us this morning. Good morning to you, Bill.
Luke, how in the world are you, my friend?
Buddy, I'm fine. The world is good. The spring has sprung. The fishing's good up here in northeast Texas. And I'm honored to have you take some time to be with us, Bill. I want to mention something that I think is pretty humorous. You know, this weekend we had Mr. Whitetail. You know Larry Wysoon. Larry, I think y'all have crossed paths in the past, maybe through Bass Pro Shops or whatever, but I had Larry's a famous hunter. You know, as famous a hunter maybe as you are a fisherman, Bill.
Well, Larry's a good one. I wouldn't want to be a deer with him. Woods,
or an elk or a kudu or whatever. That,
absolutely.
Yes, sir. Anyway, I had Larry fishing for catfish, and we had a captive audience, Bill. A lot of channel cat in this little lake on the Clay Hill Ranch. I said, I'm going to call our mutual friend, Bill Dance, up. And I called Bill on his cell phone, and he answered. And I put it on the speaker phone, and Larry said, I think he said something like, look over, look out, Bill, I'm coming for fishing. He was having a ball out there. He doesn't really get a chance to fish much. But you do, Bill, and you've been down in Florida, I think, filming some shows, right?
Yeah, we've been running all over the place the last month. We had such an early spring. Everything was running about 30 days ahead, and so what we thought we'd postpone our southern run. We missed a lot of it because the fish had already spawned. But anyway, we got some pretty good footage and working our way back north. But everything was running, like I say, it was running 30 to 40 days earlier, I should say.
It's kind of the pattern this spring. It's been the same here, and everybody I've talked to, all over, it's been the deal. Well, you got that. Was that the saltwater footage that you were filming?
No, we were freshwater. Uh-huh. And, you know, I learned something a long time ago. When we started our saltwater series, you know, I was going to kind of get a jump on it because mm-hmm. we do so many shows, and we're doing like 39 shows with salt and fresh together. And, boy, it takes a lot of time to, you know, do all that, you know, with 26 and 13, doing 26 original freshwater and 13 saltwater, and so got to get way ahead. And so I started thinking, well, you know, I'll start early. By starting early in saltwater, that's a no-no.
It is.
It's a later game.
It is.
And we bombed out so many times in our early runs, starting in January and February with saltwater. So we learned that it's late spring, summer, and early fall. That's the best time to go to do our saltwater series. So on this last run, when we went south, working our way back north, it was freshwater. And we got back here only to find that we're in a postpone here. So most of our fish, our crappie, our bluegill are bidding pretty good.
Right now. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I got to something you'll appreciate. I got with your old buddy and my old buddy. He called me, I guess it was last Friday night. All these days are running together. Yeah, and he said, what are you doing tomorrow? And I said, well, I've got something to do first thing in the morning. This was last Saturday. And I said, but nothing tomorrow afternoon. He says, why don't you just meet me down at Mud Island and let's catfish on the Mississippi? And I said, I'd love to. And so I went with old Big Cat Patterson on the Mississippi Saturday afternoon, and we got into drift fishing. But early at 15 feet, Mississippi River water was 65 degrees, and we drift fished, and I caught a 52 pounder.
Wow, Bill!
So it was a pretty good afternoon.
You bet. Big Cat Patterson, James Patterson. You know, well, you remember it was the world championship of catfishing, maybe It was in March on the below Pickwick.
Yeah, Tennessee River.
Tennessee River, and it's been, you know, that has been about 5 years ago. But because you couldn't be there, you had hooked me up with James Patterson there,
right,
to fill your spot in the boat, and I learned some things, Bill. I love to catfish. I love to fish for anything. I don't care. But
I love catfish.
I love catfishing, man. But he taught me about a controlled drift. You know,
right,
the way he does that.
And right.
It was cold. It was really cold. We had we didn't win anything, but we caught some nice fish. We had a good time.
That technique, Luke, is one of the most. That technique is a high percentage way of catching catfish, especially in moving water. It is, it's just unbelievable. You know, I'm not taking anything away from anchoring.
Right.
And a lot of guys catch a lot of fish, and there are certain times of the year that anchoring is a highly productive way of catching them, especially when the water's cold, and when you've got extremely fast water. But if any time you can find these slow transitional areas or slow current areas, that drift fishing, I just cannot tell you how productive it can be. It's like you say, it's a controlled drift where using your trolling motor, and you're just, you know, you're just letting out line,
mm-hmm,
and slowing your boat down, and where your sinker, anywhere from 3 ounces to 6 ounces, is down current behind you, and you're just barely touching the bottom, just making bottom contact, and you can cover so much water, anywhere from 20 to 60 feet. I caught that fish the other day. It was about 55 feet of water, but and the water was, it looked like it was just chocolate. It looked like a chocolate milkshake. But it is a sensational technique and a high percentage way of catching these fish. It
yes,
really is.
And of course,
the Mississippi River here never clears up. Sometimes you can see down 6 inches.
And
we
yeah,
call that clear.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, something that whatever I'm doing, Bill, whether I'm fishing or turkey hunting or whatever I'm doing, I'm trying to. It seems like I learned something. It doesn't seem like I do. I learn something every time.
Oh, I do too.
Now, I did a newspaper article week before last down at Lake Tewakinee, which is east of Dallas, you know, about 80 miles. It's to be honest with you, for a catfish place, Patterson and I talked about Tewakinee in depth, but in during the trophy blue season, which here is October through about early March, it is one lake, if you know what you're doing or if you're with somebody that does, you can go expecting to catch a 30-pound blue. Well, I fished with a guy down there, Larry Thomas is his name, catfish guide, and it was a younger gentleman. First time I'd fished with him, did a story for the newspapers. And Larry had called me. He says, Luke, the blue catfish spawn is going strong. And we didn't catch any big ones. That bite's kind of tapered off, but we caught a bunch of, say, 2.5 to 10 pounders, you know,
yeah,
and a lot of them full of eggs. But the blue cats, from all I can gather, you know, they spawn before the channels move in.
How do they spawn on, where do they spawn on Tewakinee? Are they crevice spawners?
Well, yes. Now, here's the facts as I've learned them, Bill. I know all about the channel cat spawn on Tewakinee. I fished it for years, and it's just about to kick off. Now, where we were catching the blues, blues are crevice spawners, yes, but we were catching them. We started out fishing 8 foot of water out on a long point, and then it was a submerged point, you know, that it tailed off into water about 15 foot deep. But we were catching them on the side of that point about 8 to 10 foot deep, fishing a heavy 3 ounce pyramid weight right on bottom, kind of a modified Santee rig, really, because it had a cork on it to pull the bait up, you know, from bottom. But I asked him, I said, what are these spawning fish relating to? He says, there's no brush. He said, what they're doing, they're hollowing out little areas fanning out, you know, like a, I guess digging out little areas in the
tilapia or like a bluegill or something, fanning out a bit or something.
I know for a fact, Bill, there was no structure. I mean, he had a side imaging sonar, yeah. And you could almost see every rock down there, you know, and there was absolutely no crevices, brush, whatever, logs for them to spawn around, but we caught a bunch of them, and up until about right around 9 o'clock, and then he says, we go back up in a cove, Bill, and he cuts that side imaging on, and we're fishing water 3 to 4 foot deep, and, you know, that thing will shoot out 100 feet yeah. either side. Yeah. And he's looking at the bottom, and I said, now what are we looking for, Larry? He says, we're just looking for fish. He said, there's the same program. There's no rocks. There's no, you know, they're out
these
here.
These blue also?
All blues. I think we caught right around 40 fish, none of them over about 10 pounds, most of them about 2.5, 3 pounds.
So the blues were just on clean bottom areas, and they were making their own beds. So.
Yes, sir. And he said the trick was, he said, we would not be finding these on a muddy bottom. It was
on hard bottom.
Because when we did anchor, you pull anchor up, there was clay on the anchor. You know, and he could look at the graph and tell what kind of bottom it was. I couldn't do that. But now, that's one pattern, Bill, but then the channel cats move in.
Right.
You know, I talked to him early this morning, to Larry down at Tuwakini. The channel cat are moving in, and it is awesome down there around your fishing flooded willows and stuff like that. And, I mean, it's just starting, but in about 2 weeks, it's going to be, you know, game on down there. You can catch a limit in a lot of times, honestly, in an hour down there. But they relate to the rocks, the riprap, and then also the brush. Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
See, like at Pickwick and Wilson Wheeler, Kentucky Lake, over in our area, and even on the Mississippi, these channel cat, well, they do get in these willow breaks, but mm-hmm. they're the prime pattern are bluffs. And riprap, and they take a float and set a float anywhere from 2 to 4 feet deep and let it drift up and just throw right up against these bluffs, and you know where you have these crevices
mm-hmm.
and these holes and things.
Right.
And I mean, they just whack them.
Wow.
I mean, they just whack them, you know, 2 to 6 pound channels, and I mean, just good eating fish.
You bet.
But a channel cat will give you, on light tackle, will give you more 3 minute rounds, and when the bout's over, you'll scratch your head and wonder who came out. A channel cat is a tremendous fighter. You take a 6 pound blue and a 6 pound channel cat, I tell you what, you tie them tail to tail.
Yeah.
A 6 pound channel cat will drown a 6 pound blue.
That's the truth, Bill. You know, I could visit with you forever talking fishing, but we're pretty much out of time for today's show, believe
well, I
got it or not.
Hey, I appreciate the tip on blue cats.
Well,
they spawn down.
I want you to stay with me on the line here, of course, with me.
Now,
I want to tell you some more inside information down there at Tuwakini. But, folks, our guest here is Bill Dance. And, Bill, you're very good about getting with me whenever we can get together. So this is public radio. A lot of everybody listening is an outdoorsman. They know you, and it's like they're visiting with an old friend when you get with us. So thanks very much.
Thank you, Pud, and I enjoyed talking to you, buddy.
Folks, that was Bill Dance. I know a lot of you followed Bill's career through the years and watch him on TV. You know, these saltwater shows that he does are very much like the freshwater in the respect that they devote a lot of time to technique and how to do it, and like he was saying, he concentrates on fishing that anybody can do instead of going out offshore on the large charters that cost a lot of money. He does a lot of concentrating on his shows on inshore fishing, which is good. You know, the second portion of our show was underwritten by Head Country Foods. You can go online to headcountryfoods.com. They're the makers of Head Country Barbecue Sauce. Now, remember, you can always go to ketr.org, and if you miss something that Bill said or you'd like to, any of our guests that we have, you can always listen right there. You can listen to the hour-long show that we do at catfishradio.com. Also, till this time next week, be safe in the outdoors.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.